It's the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment, as we do each and every week, brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Challenge yourself on a course that has hosted the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, and now the Honda Classic. Come and play at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com.
All right, Russ, number two goes to you, as it normally does. Jack Nicklaus, in my book, still the greatest player of all time until Tiger overtakes him, which he will, recently came out with some comments basically criticizing today's younger players, saying that the money has softened them. They don't work as hard as they should, because if you come in fifth or you come in 15th, you make enough money and it doesn't really matter if you win or not, because the money is the ultimate goal. Do you think that the money is softening today's PGA Tour players?
Definitely. There's no doubt about it. And I've talked about this before. And, you know, Jack Nicklaus at the age of 68 might be coming off as kind of like a crotchety
old guy, like these young kids.
A curmudgeon that's, you know, it seems like he's past his prime and now he's looking at today's crop of talent and just taking shots. But I think there's a lot of validity in what he said. Now, he made these comments on Friday in Southport, England. He was there at Royal Birkdale doing some promotional work. And at the time, Greg Norman was leading the event at 53. Tom Watson, at the age of 58, was, you know, flirting with the cut, and when Watson missed the cut on the number at plus 10. So, you know, one shot here or there, and Tom Watson at the age of 58 makes the cut at Royal Birkdale. And then Tom Lehman at the age of 49 was in the top five. So, you know, he was seeing all these older players who are, you know, in his estimation, tougher. You know, playing well, and all today's younger players. I mean, look at all the names that missed the cut, all the young guys that missed the cut this week. Stuart Sink, Aaron Baddeley, Charles Howell III, Jeff Ogilvie, Tim Clark, Boo Weekly, J.B. Holmes. I mean, all those guys are not playing this weekend. And Greg Norman, at the age of 53, not only made the cut, he's leading after 54 holes. I think what Jack said, there's a lot of truth in it. Listen, a guy like Tim Clark has never won on the PGA Tour, and the guy's made over $10 million. He's got over $10 million in career earnings, and he's never even won. Stuart Sink has won five times on the PGA Tour, and he ranks, and the fifth win just came recently. Before that, he only won four times, and he's in the top 10 in career earnings on the PGA Tour. Stuart Sink has won almost $30 million, and he's only won five times his entire career. There's no doubt that there's way more money nowadays than there was back then, and you can be very, very comfortable. In fact, you can be rich. You can be a millionaire and not even win nowadays. You can place in the top 10, top 20, make great checks, and where's the reason to push yourself that much farther when you're comfortable like that? I have to agree with Jack Nicklaus.
Come on, Russ. Where's the quote that he had to trudge through 5 feet of snow to get to the putting green? It's strictly, you know, Jack, you know, he's viewing these era players, and he doesn't feel they're as good as his era. You know what? He probably is right to some extent, because guys now can tailor their schedules, you know, like a Tiger Woods. I don't think it's about the money with Tiger, but he can say to himself, you know what? I'm only going to play in 10 or 15 tournaments this year. I'm going to concentrate on certain, because the money, it's not a necessary part of this job, quote unquote, anymore, with sponsorships and all that kind of stuff that go along with celebrity now. You don't have to play golf as much as you did for the money, you know, to make a living anymore. So I do understand that. I think some of it is sour grapes or whatever you want to call it. Just, you know, as you get older, I do the same thing. The older I get, the more I'm like, well, the kids today, you know, my kids spend the time watching the TV and playing video games, and I was out, you know, playing it, you know, all day. Right. Maybe I was watching TV, too. I don't even remember anymore.
I saw Batman last night, and I was that old guy in the movie theater looking at these kids with their pants, like, halfway down
right.
their butts, and, you know, these girls wearing skirts that are, like, 3 inches long. I mean, I was the old guy last night in the movie theater watching Batman at the age of 31. I felt like I was, like, in my 50s.
But you don't think in Jack's early days with Hogan and Snead and those guys that they didn't look at them and say, these young guys with their new persimmon woods,
right.
and, you know, we used to have a mash. And all you know, Niblick.
Their newfangled.
Exactly. It's the same. It's generational. Everybody complains about the younger generation because they all think they had it tougher or,
right.
you know, had to work harder. I do think, like you said, there is some validity to it, but at the same time, true champions, guys that really want to win, it really isn't about the money in my book. It's about trying to excel. That's my biggest criticism of this generation, that I don't think there are a lot of guys out there that really give a crap
whether
they win or not.
That's Nicklaus's
and maybe
point.
Maybe that's attached to money, but I part of it might just be that, you know what, hey, I'm fine where I'm at, doing what I'm doing, and, you know, making a living playing golf and getting endorsements and those kind of things.
Yep.
I don't know. It just, I think I'm going to hedge more on the side that it's just a generational. We all complain about younger guys. So
wow. So I'm the older curmudgeon.
You're defending my guy. That's a rarity.
I agree with Jack. And I've talked about this before. In fact, I wrote a blog about it a couple of months ago. The fact that and I used Tim Clark, and he's the sacrificial lamb for my argument. Although there's plenty of guys out there that could be that guy. Tim Clark's made over $10 million in his career on the PGA Tour. He hasn't even won yet. And Stewart Cink is eighth all time. He's in the top 10 ahead of all the greats. I mean, Tom Watson and Tim Clark both made about $10 million in their PGA Tour careers. Tom Watson won 8 majors. He won like 39 times on the PGA Tour. Tim Clark has won bubkis. Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt about it. There's more money. And in my opinion, guys can be very, very comfortable without winning, and we see it all the time on the PGA Tour. All right, it's the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. What do Nicholas Palmer Hagen and Sarah Zinn have in common, except for, obviously they won a lot of majors, but they also have parts in a number of different courses at PGA National Resort and Spa. Find out when you play that championship golf at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com. Last time. Topic, Patrick, regarding Michelle Wee, and it's just as the world turns for Michelle
Wee. The John
Wee,
Daly of the LPGA. She's not even on the LPGA Tour. Women's
right.
golf, I
it's
guess.
Sad. It's very sad that Michelle Wee is becoming like that, and I agree. She is almost kind of becoming the female John Daly. Dateline Springfield, Illinois. At the weekend event on the LPGA Tour, minutes after tapping in her last putt yesterday during Saturday's third round, Michelle Wee was disqualified at the LPGA Tour's where are my notes here? What tournament's going on this weekend on the LPGA Tour? So
I don't even know.
It's the State Farm Classic.
There you go.
It's the LPGA State Farm Classic in Springfield, Illinois. Michelle Wee got a sponsor's exemption into the event, and she was disqualified yesterday after tapping in her final putt because she failed to sign her second-round scorecard before leaving the scoring tent on Friday. The mistake wasn't discovered by officials until Wee was well into her round on Saturday, and they decided to let her finish her third round before notifying her of the decision, which I find
bizarre.
A little bit bizarre. That left Yanni Tseng leading the tournament at 18-under, 2 strokes ahead of her nearest competitor instead of 1. Michelle Wee was at minus 17 through 54 holes, so She's playing incredibly good through 36 holes, that is. They started on Friday. So Friday's first round, Saturday's second round. So Michelle Wee was in second place going into, which would have been, going into today's final round. And she's now disqualified after a very small technicality, in my estimation. Pat, your thoughts?
Where do you start with this? Before we even get to Michelle Wee, let me address the rule and then letting her play the round. Number one, the rule is ridiculous. Who cares where you sign the scorecard? Just as long as you acknowledge it's your signature, what difference does it make that it's not within the scoring
area, right?
Or whatever that bizarre, stupid rule is.
It was like 3 minutes after she left the scoring tent, someone from the scoring tent ran after her. She ended up signing it within about 3 minutes, but she had left the scoring tent.
Somebody,
and that's the rule.
I'm sure there's a rules guy out there that needs to call in and say what the rationale is with that. I'm sure there is one, but to me, just on the face of it, it seems stupid. You're talking about pencils and erasers causing people to get disqualified from golf tournaments, much like DiVincenzo did in the Masters in 68 or whatever.
How stupid I am.
People shouldn't be penalized for pencils and erasers in golf. The game's hard enough without
Except
worrying
if
about
if you're erasing your score and putting a better one.
Well, but somebody should check. I mean, it needs to be checked, and you have that responsibility. But so that's number one. The rule itself seems stupid and arcane to me. But someone can explain to me what the rationale is. Number two, why did they let her play? From what I understand, they knew this was an issue before.
Right.
Why would they let her go out and play?
It seems cruel, doesn't it, a little bit?
If you got to resolve that thing before she goes out there and plays, because exactly what happened was she ended up playing a pretty good round. She would have been tied for second or whatever you said.
She would have been solo second.
And now she's not even in the tournament. So I think that's strange on the part of the LPGA Tour to allow her to play when they knew there was this issue beforehand. All right, now getting into Michelle Wee. With all that said, Russ, you cannot make this kind of mistake. Her caddy, her agent, whoever is around her handling this situation cannot let her get out of the scoring area without signing her card or doing whatever she needs to do to make sure it's official. That is inexcusable. I'm going to blame Michelle Wee to some extent, but somebody around her, she's still 19, somebody around her needs to tell her, how to do this kind of stuff so it doesn't happen again. Now, it shouldn't ever happen again. Maybe she learned a lesson the hard way. But why does this stuff seem to keep happening to her?
Right.
I mean, you know, we talked, made a little bit of light with John Daly. Well, John Daly's an alcoholic. He has somewhat of an excuse, you know, I'm not trying to make light of that. But John's, you know, got some issues. Michelle Wie's just a kid, but she should be smart enough at this point to know what the rules are and how to handle it.
Pat,
man, that was quick, Colin. No response from Russ.
Nice job, Colin. just real quickly, I'll give my take. I pretty much agree with you entirely. I agree that it's a stupid rule, and it really, this is when rules need to be changed slightly, because I in my opinion, they can be changed to where the player can sign their card at any point before the next round, and it's okay. And that seems to me like there wouldn't be any problem with that. So I think the rule is somewhat stupid and arcane, and I agree that it should be changed. Having said that, shame on Michelle Wie. This is a very bad mistake that she made. To her credit, she took all the blame at the press conference. I'm seeing a maturing of Michelle Wie, and she's going to be 19 in October. So she's definitely getting up there in age. She's now been to college for a year. She'll be a sophomore at Stanford starting in the fall. To her credit, she accepted blame. She said, it's my fault. This was a bad mistake. It's an honest mistake, and I'm going to learn from this. Hopefully this will be a learning experience, and I don't do this ever again. Great. I love hearing that. Here's the sad thing. The winner's check this week at the State Farm Classic, $255,000. The second-place check, $156,000. Either of those checks would have put her comfortably in the top 80. Last year's 80th place player on the LPGA Tour made about $100,000, so a first or second here this week would have gotten her tour card for 2009 and likely would have gotten her into the field of 32 for the ADT Championship at Trump International. Now we've got to wait to see her play at the Canadian Open, her final LPGA exemption for the year in a couple of weeks. If she wins that, she's definitely in for the ADT and next year on the 09 for the LPGA Tour, but we'll have to wait and see. It's very sad. It's very unfortunate, and you're exactly right. Why does it seem that this always happens to Michelle Wie? She was playing so well, Pat.
I don't agree with anything that doesn't happen on the course affecting your standing or your round or whatever. Hey, if you hit a moving ball or you hit a wrong ball, all that's understandable. That is in the field of play. This is stuff that happens. This is like Russ after the Super Bowl, them saying, you know, you didn't give your lineup card correctly to the referee, so we have to disqualify you, New York Giants, for winning the Super Bowl. You know, good effort, though, but, you know, that, it's so stupid. It's not in the field of play. PGA Tour, LPGA Tour, everybody, figure out how to do this pencil and paper stuff so people aren't penalized for stuff after the round of golf. I just think it's ridiculous.
Well, that's your PGA National.
Colin again.
Another sounder by Colin Holder. Nicely done, Colin, giving me my chance to speak and then playing the sounder again. All right, well, that's your PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment, as we do each and every week. Brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. If you've ever watched a golf tournament on TV and wondered how you would do on a course the pros play, you got to check out PGA National Resort and Spa. It's the PGA Tour's third toughest course. Wonderfully fiendish layout designed by Jack Nicklaus. It's hosted the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, and now the Honda Classic. PGA National has just been renovated as well. So everything from the entry to the pool area to the lobby, the new restaurant, the Ironwood Grill, the new iBar, the Island Bar right there with all the flat-screen TVs. It's all phenomenal. It's real and spectacular. It's an experience unlike any other. The legend of PGA National Resort and Spa. For a customized tune-up and tee-off golf package that includes lessons and golf on the course with your instructor, go to pgaresort.com or call 877-742-6285. That's 877-742-6285. And one programming note, I will be at PGA National Resort and Spa next Sunday morning, 1 week from today, the 27th of July, broadcasting live for Golf Exchange with Al Taze from the Palm Beach Post. Al will be filling in for you, Pat, as you'll be out of town. So that'll be fun.
You getting a mani-pedi while you're there, Russ, the spa?
Probably not. All right. Although maybe a facial, though.
Okay.
Possibly a facial.
Something. Get something out of it.